Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's foggy, but you know what? We're going to clear the fog away.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
We're going to give you a glimpse into the belly of county government.
The belly of county government. Today, at 8 o'clock, we actually decided an hour was about all we could take. Oh, that's not fair. Fascinating candidates for county chair will join us at 8 o'clock to debate the issues, confront each other, answer your questions out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually going to happen, and it's going to happen right away at 8 o'clock, but not right away, because you and I are going to fill in, because I thought about it, you know, if they start at 7:30, you know, an hour's plenty.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
That's right.
That's Abe Proctor.
That's Joe Uris.
This is Talk Radio 231-8187.
Yeah, we're not raising money anymore. We raised a lot. We needed, apparently.
Actually, we did very well, and thank you all out there. I hope that your pledges will turn into real money because the station desperately needs it.
Is that transubstantiation of some kind?
Transubstantiation. That's where lead turns into gold.
Promised money turns into
gold. Yeah, lead turns into gold, or in the Christian context, wine turns
into
blood.
Blood and bread turns into flesh.
Flesh. Creepy. Well, that's my layman's position on that. What do I know? I don't practice any magic at all, hardly. Okay, well, I wanted to talk about some local stuff.
Okay.
I'm interested. I'm actually very, so far, what I see, which is only what I read in the paper, Rosie Sizer looks like a good chief of police.
Why do you say that?
Well, she made a key change right off the bat and got rid of
Foxworth's right-hand man.
Krebs.
And Krebs. Why was that a key change in your view?
Well, you know, I only know the scuttlebutt, okay? I don't know the facts. Let's be clear here. But everyone I've ever talked to who is a police person, and there are a few of them, have always said about him that he was a bit of a martinet and that he was more interested in numbers than people. And they resented him. Hmm. And he wasn't well-liked. Now, I know every chief of police tends to surround herself or himself with people who are their people. And when you move into a position like this, in the situation as delicate, shall we put it as this, it might be tempting to just let everything sit and just kind of have somebody occupying the chair.
Keeping the seat warm.
Yeah, keep the seat warm. But clearly what the mayor...
Like Gerald Ford. Go ahead.
Well, except that Gerald Ford pardoned. You know, he pardoned.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I don't think Rosie can pardon the chief. Anyway, but clearly what message was given to Ms. Sizer is pretty good. I mean, clearly she was told that she was not just acting chief, but the function is chief. And she did, and she does. And she's elevated people that I have some respect for. And I'm just hopeful.
Well, Grube's dismissal is being read by some as an indication that Foxworth has seen his last day as chief.
It's a difficult situation. Prejudging...
it is a difficult situation.
You know.
The only thing we know, really, is that Foxworth is a very, very bad porn writer.
Oh, that's a cruel blow, that he's a bad porn writer. Well, that is not a requisite for chief of police.
Did you read those emails?
Yeah, of course I did.
It's really bad porn.
Oh.
Although I think the best parts were blacked out on the Oregonian's website.
Oh, well, why'd you go to that site? Go to KGW.com.
They have the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll have to reserve judgment. Maybe the chief writes better porn than I give him credit for.
Well, the problem, of course, with all of that is that it isn't just a question of whether or not there was consistent and persistent, which I believe there was, again, from sources, harassment and dishonoring of female staff. That isn't the only problem. The other problem, and the hostile workplace. But, you know, police departments are like hostile workplaces by definition.
Yeah, kind of quasi-military sorts of
places. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's difficult. It's weird. And policing is very traditional, hardly ever wants to change. And most officers, according to most studies, are innately conservative, whether they're men or women. All right. But the problem is not so much that right now as the question of perception. How do you lead a department when everybody's giggling? And how do you relate to the fact that somebody is foolish enough in a public job to put on even their private email, as I understand it was private, such
Bad porn.
Bad porn. Now, maybe they were both exchanging bad porn. I don't know.
I don't know.
Or maybe she writes good porn. I don't know. But I don't know if I'd call it porn exactly. I'd call it erotic musings. You know? It's like, of course, I don't know because I never read these things. They're like Penthouse Forum. Well, maybe I do know since I obviously know. But, you know, that's Penthouse Forum from 1979 or something like that.
Well, it's like you said. The problem is we really know nothing.
Know nothing.
I think we can safely say that Foxworth exercised poor judgment.
Right.
And perhaps acted in a position of power in a way that he shouldn't have.
Well, you know, yeah. But, you know, I felt like there was a rush to judgment when the Oregonian came out with a screaming outrage, he must go editorial. I sort of find that a little pushy.
Yeah.
Pushy. But you know how those white men are. They're very pushy. Anyway, so there was that. And that's something we could muse about.
Yep.
But then we'd be just like everybody else on talk radio, going for the crass and sexually titillating.
Yeah, let it never be said.
No, we don't do that.
We go for a cheap laugh on this program.
No, no cheap laugh on this program. No. And later we're going to have some serious conversation. I think we should spend a little time talking a little bit about these candidates, you know?
Yeah, I think we should too.
First of all, do you know what it is that the county does? What does the county do? Why don't we have a merged city-county government? I mean, what do they do?
Well, you know, I kind of had to go find that out.
Yeah.
And I don't entirely know.
Really?
Yeah. They administer jails.
Okay.
They provide...
the lockup system.
Right. The social services, health care, they distribute cash assistance.
Okay, that's important. That's important. Poor people really depend on the county.
Child and family services.
Okay, so child and family services, although a state program is administered through the county, is that right?
Yeah.
You sure?
I'm fairly sure. I'm certain that at least one of our guests can.
We'll ask them that. Okay, but and what else?
They maintain some roads and bridges. All of the bridges across the Willamette.
Except for the steel bridge, which is a little more complicated because technically the railroad owns it. But I think the county maintains it. I don't know. And then TriMet has a role in that one, doesn't it?
Right. So county government's here to make things really confusing.
Ah.
Is that what they're here for? They of course, have a law enforcement agency.
Yes.
The sheriff's department.
They used to wear green, but now they wear, like, dark green and look meaner.
Right.
And leaner.
That's important.
And they used to be, you know, county officers under Don Clark, when he was sheriff years ago, were professionalized, which is to say they required them to have bachelor's degrees,
mm-hmm.
and they were considered better trained law enforcement agency. But at one point, the city took over, and each of the cities took over law enforcement in their own region. The county was reduced somewhat in that role. I don't know if they're still required to have a bachelor's degree. I know the
I thought that was a pretty common requirement amongst law enforcement agencies all over the place.
Nah.
No?
No, man. Come on. It's a working class gig.
Oh, all right.
I mean, really.
So. Yeah, so the county does those things. It zones land in unincorporated areas.
Yeah.
I don't know how they raise money. They must be able to assess taxes and fees of some kind.
Yeah. Well, we'll find that out. Well, you know, we're ignorant. We are the perfect people to be talking with these people because we don't know anything.
They sell marriage licenses to heterosexual couples.
To heterosexual couples.
Yeah.
But they wanted to sell them to homosexual
And they
couples.
Did.
For a while.
But they had to give the money back. So they had to take the marriage back, then they had to give the money back. It's kind of a quid pro quo.
I would think.
Yeah.
You're not really married, but you get your money back. The courts. Don't they do the courts?
Yeah, it's county courts.
Okay. So the judges are paid out of the county? No, state. There's two kinds of.
Well, there's municipal judges, too. We have courts at almost every level of government.
Okay. We have municipal judges. We have
county judges.
Which are called circuit court judges. Is that right?
No,
those are state judges. You know, we don't know.
There's a federal circuit court, too.
We are so ignorant. We're ignorant.
Yeah, it's.
No, we really are. It's shocking.
Yeah, the president was right, man. The dictatorship would be much easier.
Did he say that?
He did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
The president of the United States?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he said, provided he's the dictator.
Oh, are you making this up?
No,
right?
No.
Okay.
That's
anyway,
true. The county also administers several educational service districts.
ESDs.
Yes, but those are distinct from districts like Portland Public Schools.
Right, but also the county has been giving school districts like the Portland Public Schools some of its pot of gold.
Well, and it levied an income tax. on everybody.
The eye tax. I just dealt with that yesterday. So, or actually, my partner did. I'm so lazy.
We're going to have to ask some questions, I think, just about...
the no more eye tax.
Right, right. But we're going to ask some questions about how county government works and what it does. That'll, I imagine, tell us something about these candidates, too.
I would
based
say.
On how well they're able to answer.
Now,
those
the
questions.
Candidates, this is a cable rule. We don't, this, which I disagree with. We don't just have the two considered most likely to win candidates. We have all three candidates for this post. And one of them, Mr. Smith, which I love because, you know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington and stuff.
Right.
Mr. Smith, who's the dark horse, as it were, is going to be with us as well. And we don't know anything about him.
Right. And we should tell you that this is a nonpartisan office. So questions of party affiliation really don't apply here.
Yes.
So you're going to have to judge on the quality and quantity of their answers.
Yeah.
As to where they're coming from.
And I want to say we're going to be a little irreverent.
Yes, we are.
In fact,
we're going to keep things focused.
In fact, you know what we're going to do? If people do glittering generalities...
We're going to call them. There will be no glittering generalities. And we have the bell of glittering generalities that will signal a glittering generality
from our point of view.
That's
so
right.
It's an opinionated kind of a thing. We will give each candidate equal time.
We will.
We will. We have a clock over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we will allow them to... How are we going to work this? We're going to allow them to talk.
Yep.
And then we're going to tell them that time's up. And
yeah, we're going to take calls from listeners, and time permitting, we may let them question each other.
This is going to be an extremely cool thing.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. But you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going
to do? I'm going to go out and kind of greet our guests.
All right, well, let me ask you one thing before you go.
Okay.
What if Al Gore had a bell of glittering generalities?
Ooh. Man, what if George Bush hadn't been allowed to cheat in two elections? I mean, you want to get into it.
Well, okay.
Supposing there was a bell of dishonesty. All right, I'm going to go out to our guests and reassure them that we really do love them.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'll see you in a few minutes.
All right.
All right. 231-8187 is the number to call if you want to talk about county government. If you want to talk about something else, we've got a few minutes to do so. A bunch of generals have asked Rummy to resign. That just makes me really happy. But he's not going to do it. He was on Rush Limbaugh even the other day, reinforcing his ego and such. So, our guests today are County Chair Diane Lynn, she's the incumbent, Ted Wheeler, whose family came up in the lumber business. The town of Wheeler, Oregon, actually, is named after his family. And Joe mentioned Terrence Smith, and we really know very little about Terrence Smith, so this will be a chance for us all to get to know Mr. Smith. So, as we mentioned, we're going to be giving the candidates equal time to be able to talk about that. Actually, I'll tell you how this is going to work. Each candidate will, in turn, be able to introduce him or herself to you, the listeners. They'll be able to describe their experience or qualification for the job, why they want the job, what they hope to accomplish, that sort of thing. Then Joe and I are going to ask them the same questions, in turn, and give them a chance to answer. And then, as we mentioned... Time permitting, we will turn them over to you, the wolves, so that they can be devoured. And perhaps they'll even be able to push each other on questions, which I think, you know, as a political observer, that's when it gets really entertaining, when the candidates start going after each other. And that's when you can just sit back and really enjoy it. So we'll try and get a little of that in, too. And as we mentioned, the bell of glittering generalities will be standing by. And... there you have it. We will stay focused. We will stay to the point. And along the way, I think we'll all learn a little bit more about how county government works. Because as we mentioned, it's a bit of a mystery. So, 231-8187 is the number to call. We probably can squeeze a call or two or three in here before we get going. This is, after all, talk radio. And I know you guys who have been waiting patiently through Pledge Drive are really... wanting to get your views on the air. That's something that hasn't happened as much as we would have liked of late. So, as I mentioned, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld has been asked to resign by a growing number of retired military officers. Generals, retired generals, are saying that he has bungled the administration of the war. I wondered when I heard about this, why didn't these people speak up earlier? Why didn't they say something? before they were retired. Why didn't they say something? Why were they in a position to influence the outcome of events here? And probably because, you know, in the United States of America, of course, we have civilian military leadership. We have officers who execute the orders of the civilian leadership. And perhaps these generals decided, well, it wasn't really, they weren't in a position to do something like that. Ultimately, they were bound by honor, by duty, by charter to follow the directives of the civilian military leadership. But I'm glad they're saying something now because, frankly, it needs to be said. So we'll go to the phones. LJ, good morning.
Well, hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm working on my coffee and my personality is starting to develop.
Oh, good.
Okay, so here's the deal. My concerns about the county are that Wapato County jail fiasco.
Wapato County jail? Enlighten me. I don't know anything about that.
Okay, well, Bernie Giusto beat up the county officials to build
right, Bernie Giusto is the current sheriff from Multnomah County.
Okay, yeah. To build them a new jail.
Okay.
So they built them a new jail, and they call it the Wapato Jail. And they spent millions of dollars on this jail, Abe.
Is this the Inverness facility?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's laying empty because they don't have enough money to staff it to put criminals in there. So now here is this jail that they're sitting on that the county spent a bajillion dollars on, and it just sits there doing nothing.
Are there just are Multnomah County's residents just law-abiding? Are there not enough criminals to put in this place?
Apparently, there's not enough money to hire help in order to staff the jail.
Wow.
So now this jail that Multnomah County wasted a billion dollars on because Mr. Giusto said he needed it, and because Mr. Giusto says that Multnomah County are his, quote, bankers, unquote, okay? So we're sitting with this thing as a taxpayer, as a county taxpayer, it's totally embarrassing.
Well, I think that's something we're going to have to ask candidates about.
I would definitely ask them about that.
Particularly the incumbent.
Yes, that would be a very lovely thing to address. Okay?
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, well, thank you. Well, shoot, we're learning stuff even before the candidates arrive. God, I love talk radio. It's so much fun. Okay. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Talk Radio. My name's Abe Proctor. My partner, Joe Uris, is out hobnobbing with the Glitterati, the three candidates for Multnomah County Chair, who will be arriving here momentarily to answer our questions and yours. They are the incumbent Diane Lynn and her two challengers, Ted Wheeler and Terrence Smith. Now, as I mentioned, we don't know a whole lot about Mr. Smith, so this will be an opportunity for him to reveal himself. Mr. Wheeler, his website says that he has become a prominent Portland area businessman through his ownership and guidance of a financial services company. And that's all the detail that I was able to discover on his website. So I think we're going to ask Mr. Wheeler about that. What is a financial services industry? What kind of financial service industry do you run? What sort of services do you provide? We'll go to the phones. Carol, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
just waking up.
Oh. That makes two of us.
But I do have a question. Actually, I wanted to say you're doing quite a disservice for the listeners. I am a KABU member and a fan, but every week you talk about, you know, peace and war and what's happening in this country, and yet you really are saying that you don't know what's happening with county government.
Yeah, I admit
it. Yeah, you did. I mean, the county serves the poor and the needy, and the county for the past 3 to 4 years has really suffered tremendous budget cuts, and that's what you need to ask the candidates. This year we're facing $30 million worth of cuts, and that's cuts to the poor, that's cuts to the needy, that's cuts to people in treatment, that's cuts to people in transitional housing.
Now,
so,
can you answer a question for me, Karen? Or Carol, excuse me? Now, how does the county raise funds? Do they receive block grants from state and federal governments? Do they levy fees?
There is the county, the property tax.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a bulk of the funds come in. The cuts that we're seeing right that are coming up right now is because the iTax is ending, and if you own, that's the tax everybody pays in Multnomah County, and that's funded schools as well as social services. And those social services are the ones that are going to be cut. And I do want to go off the air, but I do want to ask, I mean, you know, it's like, who do you vote for? And in the very least, Diane Lynn knows about all the budgetary difficulties in the county. And Ted Wheeler, I'm not sure what he, you know, how much does he really care about social services? Is he going to work to maintain or retain any of the programs that are being cut? $30 million. And if you don't know about it, you should. Get on the county website and look at, you can read all the information about it. Well, and that's all I have to say. Well, thanks.
Let me ask you one thing before you go.
Yeah.
You said we're doing our listeners a disservice by having this debate today?
Oh, no. Oh, no, not at all. Actually, it's a great service to have the debate. It's a disservice to not know, as a journalist and to have a weekly radio program, to not know what's happening in this city in terms of services to the poor and the needy.
All right,
and,
you got me, Carol. I'm guilty.
And maybe you guys are just joking, but do your homework and do a series of shows on what's really happening in our city, in a city that, you know, we think we're so liberal, what's really happening to services to the poor people.
All right, well, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right, well, Carol's right. I admit, what I've learned about county government, I've learned in the past few days as I've been doing some reading in preparation for this show. I know a fair amount about city government, about state government, and federal government, but the black hole in there, admittedly, is how county government works. And I would hazard a guess that I'm not alone in that. So perhaps our listeners will be able to learn a little something today, too. Scott is next. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Question I'd like for you to ask is how they view public power.
Oh, that's a good question.
Now, Ted Wheeler revealed that he was in favor of public power on the Tom Hartman program on a commercial station.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it without reservation, and it was quite surprising. And, you know, it's an issue he could have easily avoided. So I'd be curious if he still has that stance. And I believe Commissioner Lynn is opposed, but maybe she's changed her mind. And one comment on the sheriff's office. That might be another question, which is apparently the sheriff forwards his budget to the commissioners, but they must approve it. So it appears to be an advice and consent relationship, but it appears that the county commissioners, other than doing a little horse trading, don't really get into the sheriff's budget. Is that because they are precluded from doing it, or they just don't want to get into the politics of it? Because this is the same sheriff who has the largest amount of overtime ever in the history of the sheriff's office, and that massive amount of money could easily be used for operations to open the unopened jail.
That's a very good point.
Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Yes, and for the record, questions about the Sheriff's Department and the Inverness Jail facility are on our list today, but I think that budgetary question needs to work its way in there as well. All right, this is KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. My name's Abe Proctor. My partner, Joe Uris, will be joining us momentarily, along with the three contenders for the post of Multnomah County Chair. Diane Lynn, the incumbent, Ted Wheeler, and Terrence Smith, her challengers. Now, a little bit of background on the position of the county chair. The county is governed by commissioners who are elected by district. This is in contrast to the city commissioners who run on a citywide basis. So the county is divided into districts. Each district elects a commissioner. The county chair runs on a countywide basis and leads the county commission. And I would hazard a guess, exercises sort of executive power over decision-making processes, perhaps breaks ties, gives final approval of the budget, that sort of thing. Chair Diane Lynn gained national notoriety during this past term in granting, for a brief period of time, the right for same-sex couples to get married. At the time, we had a couple of radio programs upon this very subject, and the vast majority of our listeners were in favor of that, of same-sex marriage. And I think that's to be expected to a certain extent. But however, there were questions about the procedure and the means by which that came to pass. Oh, look at that. Candidates are coming in the door. Have a seat, pull up a mic, put on some headphones, and we'll get going.
I just would introduce you all to Abe.
Good morning.
The partner in this crime. Now, each of you, I'm going to say this, the audience is listening, but I'm going to just say this. Each of you has headphones. And each of you should put your headphones on.
Although you don't really need them for the first part of this. Am I dead? Oh, no. Okay. Each of you has headphones. All our candidates are here. We have had a random selection of order of speech. Terry Smith will go first in each of these questions. Everybody has the opportunity to answer each question. You can certainly pass on any question. Diane Lynn is the second speaker, and Ted Wheeler forms up third place. That, again, was selected randomly. And we'll see about the sound checks. Everybody out there in the audience in the real world, be very patient, because we have to make sure everybody has a chance to be heard and have make sure that their headphones work. Isn't that right?
That's
and
right.
Again, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. Me, Joe Uris, and my buddy Abe Proctor, and the candidates for county chair. And as soon as we do the little technical business, we will start this exchange. I think exchange is a good neutral term for the candidates. Is this on? Is this working? Everything working? You want to say something, Terry?
Well, my name is Terry Smith.
Good morning. This is Ted Wheeler.
And good morning to the KBOO audience.
All right. Everybody's set.
All right.
We're gonna do this.
Man, a caller took me to task. I don't know if you heard that or not.
No, I missed it. What did
they
you say?
They accused me of being ignorant of county government, and plead guilty.
You are absolutely.
I don't think I'm the only one, so this will be a good experience.
That's a Beatle line.
Ignorant of county government?
No, I'm not the only one.
Oh, I'm not the only one. All right.
Yeah. Bad. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so starting off, we're going to give each of you a chance to introduce yourselves, give a little bit of your background and that sort of thing. So we'll start with you, Mr. Smith.
Well, my name is Terrence Smith. I was born in Portland in 1945. Went to Park Rose High School, graduated from there, grew up in East County. I've been a lifelong resident of Portland, Oregon vicinity. And I'm always been very interested in government. I went into this race because I felt there needed to be more of a connection with people and the government. And I feel that communication is the prime motivating factor there in bringing the people closer to the government.
Okay. Mr. Wheeler?
Well, good morning. My name's Ted Wheeler. And, of course, I'm a candidate for Multnomah County Chair. I'm running because I want to bring common sense and competence back to the leadership of our county government. And I'm running. That's the cowbell of
glittering generalities.
Glittering generalities.
I think you jumped the gun on that bell.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was rude of me.
That's all right.
I'm so unfair.
It woke me up. That's the important thing. You just saved me $3 on a cup of coffee. I was born and raised here. And I'm very proud of the fact that I went to the public schools. I got what I think was a world-class education, graduated from Lincoln High School in 1981. I'm an outdoors person. I love the outdoors and have been very involved with the Friends of Forest Park and the Heron Point Wetlands Rehabilitation Project. My wife and I are expecting our first child in September.
Congratulations.
And we just learned it's a little girl. So that's going to be a new experience for me as somebody who was raised in a family with four boys. And I'm running because I really feel it's important that county government work. Again, it's the most important level of government. I hope we're going to talk today about some of the many important things that it does.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Ms. Lynn.
Good morning, everyone. Great to be on KBOO today, and I'm very excited to be a part of this discussion. I think this could be one of our better. I'm also a Portland native, and grew up in Buckman neighborhood right here in inner southeast Portland. I'm a lifelong Democrat and a lifelong political activist from a very, very young age. My family was actively involved in pretty extreme political activism, fighting against the war in Vietnam very early on. We started a group home for teenage foster kids in our house help take care of kids that were adjudicated that could no longer live with their own parents, and got a very firsthand sense of what it's like for their experience. I'm hoping we can really challenge each other and bring out some of the more important issues that this race represents, because what we're doing at Multnomah County is so very important, and it's absolutely core to the values of a progressive community, taking care of people in need and people in trouble, working with community partners to make sure that our mental health systems work, that we have a system of care for the downtown homeless youth, that we really reach into families and support them so their kids can succeed at going to school, so they have a chance at the best possible life. And I actually want to challenge Mr. Wheeler's sense that somehow, you know, we need to bring common sense back or some kind of competence. That's really offensive, and I'm hoping we can have a really good conversation.
Well, already I can tell that it's going to be a little more exciting than I had feared. Okay. Now, we have a series of questions. I think that we'll go through them very quickly. You may use your question opportunity to kind of veer off of the question for a little bit, but I really want you to try to keep your answers down to about a minute.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
True, and we will use the bell.
We will use the bell. The glittering generality should be avoided. Specifics are where we're at. And you may, of course, challenge each other. And, in fact, that makes it for a little more exciting radio. So,
all right, we'll jump right in. Terry, why don't you tell us a little bit about your, first of all, your work experience and your background and what skills that you would bring to the job of county chair?
Well, my work background is that I've been with Fred Meyers for 35 years. I'm still employed by Fred Meyer. I've run produce departments for them, so I am aware of business practices, et cetera, et cetera. I've balanced my home budget on a median income. I've raised three children successfully. They're all doing well on their own. I have a savings account for the future. I have two cars that we hold title to, a small debt on the house, and no outstanding debts other than that. I think that is very speaks very well for money management right there. And handling a budget of $1.2 billion in the county is really not that much different than handling a median household budget and knowing what a dollar is worth.
Okay, you're next, Diane.
Well, I have to challenge Terry on that point. Handling a billion-dollar budget is very different. I manage a difficult family budget, too. I've got I've raised two kids and have had similar kinds of challenges in my real life in managing money, which is, again, a stark contrast to Mr. Wheeler, who's been very wealthy all of his life. And that's something I really think we need to vet here. Managing the county's budget means that you're making decisions about which groups of people deserve the public resource and how to target that public resource in the best way to get the most service to the most amount of people for the longest period of time. It's very complex, very important work. The most vulnerable people in the community rely on the decisions we make at the county. Public service should not be diminished into this anybody can do it kind of concept. This is important work. It takes experience. I have a lifetime of experience in political, strategic planning and thinking. I've managed in the private sector in the cable business for 8.5 years. I've run political nonprofit, statewide nonprofit for 3 years. I ran a city bureau, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, for 5 years. Before I ran for the County Board of Commissioners, which gave me an opportunity to get acclimated to county government, before I ran for chair. That's the kind of experience you need for the job of county chair. And to have people come in and say, well, I've never been in public office, I've never had anything to do with public service, suggest that they can run a county of this size, of this magnitude, with this kind of impact to real people is really kind of, it's offensive.
Okay.
Ted?
Ted, go ahead.
Well, I feel like I should go back into the hall and get my flak jacket before I continue here. I actually am a creature.
Oh, come on. Welcome to the kitchen.
You got it, Sherilyn. I'm actually a creature of the private and the nonprofit sector, and I just fundamentally disagree with those who say that the only people who can fix the problems caused by politicians are other politicians. I have a distinguished career in the private sector. I helped my brother John and others grow our company, which was called Copper Mountain Trust, to be the largest financial services company of its kind in the Northwest. We had thousands of clients who trusted us with nearly $6 billion of their money. That's important because I think elected leaders, regardless of what size budget they're dealing with, really need to have an appreciation for the fact that it is other people's money, and they have to treat it with great reverence. I have community experience building partnerships and forging consensus, which I think is something Multnomah County desperately needs right now. Just to give you one example, when the City of Portland and the Friends of Forest Park were trying to figure out how to fund the maintenance and preservation of our 5,000-acre forest park, I created the Walk for the Wildwood Trail. It's a great partnership between the City of Portland, the Friends of Forest Park, and active citizens who want to protect and preserve that environment. And today, after 7 years, it is the largest sole source of funding for the maintenance and preservation of Forest Park. I do have government experience. In fact, 5 years before my opponent first ran for public office, I went around the country and actually researched and wrote about best practices in local government. And the compilation of that study is called Government That Works. It's a book I published in 1993. And based on that book, I was invited to teach state and local government courses at Northeastern University in Boston. When I moved back to Portland, I've been appointed to positions by the governor, by the president of Metro, and by Mayor Potter, who appointed me to be one of two citizens that he tapped to help him craft the city's last $2 billion budget. That's twice as large as Multnomah County's budget. So I do believe that fiduciary responsibility is important, and I agree with Chair Lynn when she says the real key in a declining budget environment is figuring out how are we going to get services to the most people. To me, what that suggests is we need to know how every single dollar is spent. We need performance measurements and benchmarks and contract oversight, and we have moved away from that under Chair Lynn's administration. That, according to the independently elected county auditor in 2004.
Now, I know, Diane, you want to respond to that.
Yes, I do.
And I'm thinking here that maybe we ought to loosen our format up a little bit.
Sure.
Are you guys all comfortable with that?
All right.
I mean, just a little bit. So what I'm going to do...
Remember the bell.
Remember the bell. I'm just going to ask you, when you respond to each other, which you may do, and even spontaneously, I'm going to ask you to keep your response really short. Otherwise, the whole thing gets crazy.
Sure.
So you wanted to respond, and then you can certainly respond as well.
Let me be clear about something, and it's hard to be succinct with these kinds of issues.
I understand. But
let me be clear that, again, when you can go to Harvard University Kennedy School of Government, you can afford to get the very best world-class education in the world, probably, you've got time to write a dissertation on government. If you're on a committee working with the mayor or the governor, that is an entirely different role than being the decision maker. The buck stops here. The decisions have to be made between who you serve and who you can't anymore. What programs continue and what can't continue anymore with County General Fund. I've spent the last several weeks while running for office and, by the way, getting my daughter into college. I'm also a parent and active. I'm a working mom. But through all this, we've been making million-dollar decisions every day on what we apply County General Fund to. Nobody knows this county better than I do right now in terms of the tough decisions that we face. You can't suggest that if you've been out on the sidelines and out up in the bleachers, that you have any idea what it's like to make the real decisions and be held accountable in a public forum where everything's transparent.
Okay. Terry, I want to give you an opportunity here.
Well, according to Chair Lynn, if you're a family person that balances your budget at home, you don't have the authority to balance a county budget. I take that into effect that really you really know the value of a dollar better when you're in the family, closer to the ground, and you know where that value can be best applied. And when you make decisions for the family and you're looking at your children and saying, no, you can't have that, or if you want that, you go out and earn the difference.
Okay.
That's really no difference than making large decisions in the county either. And when you're talking about a budget of $1.2 billion as opposed to a median income for a family, all you're doing is adding more digits onto the amounts. And you're still making the same types of decisions.
Okay, Ted, you got a little last word here.
Well, first of all, I would be very, very cautious about suggesting that people who are actively participating in government as citizens are merely sitting on the bleachers. I think a hallmark of government in Oregon has, in fact, been direct citizen participation. And I should simply point out, when I was tapped by the mayor to be one of two citizens, I was there making the hard choices, taking votes, soliciting public input, questioning the bureau heads right there next to the sitting commissioners. So I actually look forward to increasing meaningful citizen involvement, not pushing people aside and saying they're sitting on the bleachers. This is their government, Chairlin.
You know, I got to ask a question. I'm going to break the whole thing here, because on the one hand, here's Terry, who he would not characterize himself this way, probably, but I would. He's a working class person. To quote again a Beatle, John Lennon, he's the working class hero amongst all of you, to some degree. All of you have very different backgrounds. I know Diane comes out of a working class background. I know Terry, of course, is still functioning within that world. Ted, you come out of a position of relative privilege. I think that's fair to say. And you speak to the question of being put on this board or that board. Now, the question that I want you all to think about a little bit here is, to what degree are these processes, the one that puts you on the mayor's advisory, blah, 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 and the one that doesn't put you there, Terry, the one that gives you a certain element of power, Diane, to what degree is that merit-based, or is it based out of the situation that you come from? And you alluded, Diane, to this in terms of the Harvard, the Kennedy School of Government, or whatever the heck it's called these days. But I really want to get into that, because one of the things that I don't want us to ignore here is the reality of power relations. And power in this society is very much connected to money. And I don't want to deny any of that. And I don't want to leave it as the elephant in the room. Now, this is just a quick thing. I mean, do you have a comment on that, or should I just move on, or whatever? And now this is an opportunity to interrupt each other.
Joe, this is a very crucial and core question. I want to give you an example of what I think what you may be getting at, and correct me if I'm wrong here.
I will.
I'm sure you will, in terms of power relationships. Let me give you an example of how our campaigns contrast each other. I've raised money the old-fashioned way, brick by brick, person by person, and I've got some strong support by organizations like Basic Rights Oregon, Oregon NARAL, nurses, teachers, service workers, working class people. Ted Wheeler's campaign is funded by, $75,000 of which, this is a $300,000 so far campaign. I think it's going to be twice that amount maybe by the end with the TV dollar he's been able to spend that wasn't captured on the last CNEs. Three quarters so far of what he's raised has come from downtown business, developers, people who own businesses, CEOs, financial planners, of which he would know because he has been one. That's the kind of power base. Portland Business Alliance has endorsed Ted Wheeler. The Oregonian has endorsed Ted Wheeler. This is the power circle of Portland, the old Portland money, of which those of us that came from the east side and have worked all of our lives and have tried to turn public service into a honorable and high-level institution have a lot of trouble getting in the club around. And I just think it's important to talk about the power balance and how it relates to money.
Okay, you want to jump in, Terry?
Sure, I'll jump in for a moment. I've always been suspicious of money in general being a factor in campaigns, and so I don't have any contributors. I am the contributor. And what I would suggest is that whether it's overt or covert or neither of the above, there is influence in money. And I don't like to see the money influencing campaigns on this or any other level, and I think that's been disenfranchising people in general from even getting involved in the democratic process. And the only way you can save a democracy, keep a democracy flourishing, is by being involved, by being a voting part of the organization. And I would encourage anyone out there who's not registered to vote to register and to vote. I'm not telling you how to vote, just to register and to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't vote, you are voting to end democracy. Well, and money is a factor that's driving an awful lot of people away.
Well, Ted, sounds like you're being beat up because you come out of wealth. What, you want to respond to all this?
I'm used to it, so I can take it. Don't worry about it. I am being supported by such radical conservatives as Vera Katz and Bud Clark and Stephen Kefauri, Rex Burkholder, Robert Liberty, Oregon Action, and the people who know my opponent the best, including a majority of her own board of commissioners and her own employees, who are largely represented by Ask Me Local 88. I also have the Teamsters, the Northwest Council, the Northwest Oregon Labor Council, the United Food and Commercial Workers, and the list goes on and on and on. What Chair Lynn did not mention when she talked about my most recent C&E was that we have 800 contributors. 800 contributors compared with her 125. Yet we've only raised three times as much money. What that means is with eight times as many contributors, she obviously has a higher per person contribution list. In fact, I went to her list after she issued a press release saying what she just told you and your listening audience, that my money comes from real estate developers, it comes from downtown big money. In fact, on a percentage basis, her contributions from those sources are much greater. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, her largest single contributor, who represents over 10% of her total contributions, is a real estate developer. Her
largest, let me be clear, that's Terry Bean. He's the
he's a real estate developer.
He's the founder of the Human Rights Human Rights Campaign Fund, which is the national gay and lesbian.
Okay, let's Ted finish.
If I could just finish, and then her second largest contribution, which is a corporate contribution, comes from none other than Portland General Electric. So I actually find myself agreeing with Terrence. The question is really, how do we gain access for people who have no access? And I'm going to freely admit, I did grow up in a privileged household. And I, as a result of that, I believe I have more to give back to the community. I feel like I owe it. And that's how I was raised. That's what I believe. That's why I've not only contributed money to good causes, but blood, sweat, and tears as well. And I would encourage Chair Lynn to join me in considering during the next charter review process putting something in that helps publicly finance elections. She has not done that during her many, many years of public service, but maybe this is the right time for her to step forward and commit to that.
Well, that's very interesting. I'm going to jump back into our thing. I'm going to ask a kind of an insulting question, but it's perhaps important. Why, in the good Lord's name, would anyone want to be chair? I mean, it's got a term limit of two terms. It's clearly an environment of odd acrimony. The sheriff and the structure is such that the sheriff, who's elected by the people, doesn't control his own budget, and yet he or she is responsible for the jails and for a number of elements of law enforcement in the county. And we have seen that one, for example. There are all kinds of structural problems within county government. I think we all have to acknowledge that. I mean, it's a rotten deal. So, starting with you, Terry, why do you want this job? And please keep your answer short.
Well, as my uncle said when he found out about it, what? He must be crazy. I wanted to get into the politics because I wanted to get the people more connected with government. I feel that they're disconnected right now. I want to see if not the commissioners themselves, maybe some representatives of the commissioners, go to local meetings in neighborhoods around the entire county. Not every day, maybe once a week, once a month, but listen to the people. Listen to the people, because the people have problems out there. They're not communicating to the commissioners or to anyone else. And they can have solutions if they get together and start talking. And the biggest part of communication is listening.
Okay, I got to ring the bell of glittering generality, because one of the things I always hear in campaigns, I got to tell you this, Terry, is we want to have better communication. In fact, I can remember it in high school. And that was tell people how old I am, 1957. So, you know, okay. Now, I think the next person is Diane.
Well, I think this is a very fair question, and I've done some serious soul searching, because since 2 years ago that I made the decision to allow same-sex couples to receive marriage licenses just like everyone else, to be treated just like everyone else, it's hard to describe what my both personal and professional life has been like. I can't really put words to it. It's been extraordinarily stressful, and it's put a lot of pressure on my family and my relationships, and I've thought long and hard about whether or not to run again, and I really wanted to consider the importance of what we do at the county, the broader issues, and the role of the bully pulpit of being in an elected position where you can get actively involved in the movements towards equality for both women and in this case, gays and lesbians. This has become my life's work. I put years and years of time into citizen engagement, just like Terry said. That the practicality of how that happens is important, and just listening isn't enough. You actually have to engage stakeholders and get people actively involved in decision making. What we do at the county is not featured in the media very often. The city of Portland gets a lot of attention, the state government. We're working, toiling in obscurity to a large extent, and picking up the pieces of when the state government makes reductions that affect people who have chronic mental illness, or who are struggling with developmental disabilities, or senior citizens who are aging into a real frail condition. So this is important work. I'm inspired every day by what we do at the county, and that's why I'd like to continue to do the job.
Okay, Ted.
Well, you asked the question, what really inspired me to step forward?
What I said was, why in God's name would anyone want this job?
Well, and that is actually a very fair question, because it is a tough job. And we're in an era where pretty much any choice you make is second-guessed. For 18 years, I've been working on the front lines of anti-poverty efforts. I've been working with homeless populations for that period of time. For the last 6 or 7 years, I've been an overnight volunteer shelter host at the Goose Hollow Family Shelter. Now, that doesn't mean I know what it's like to be that impoverished, and most people in this community don't know what that's like, but it's certainly given me an empathy for how hard it is for people to make ends meet, even in the best of times, and frankly, how much higher we have to aim at county government to be able to serve the people who need it. I've been a frontline leader at Neighborhood House for 5 years, and this is really what got me involved in this race. Neighborhood House is one of Multnomah County's largest human service providers. We operate three of the county's after-school programs, the Sun Schools. We have a very active senior center, and we operate transitional housing, which is what got me into Neighborhood House in the first place. And I saw the lack of leadership at our county government. I saw the dysfunctionality. I saw the very public and divisive arguments that pushed important decisions to the side. And I realized that my skills were what this county government needs. Somebody who can build consensus is desperately needed on the Board of Commission. Somebody who can develop partnerships to solve the problems that are facing our county. Because when they don't get it right, it hurts everybody in the community, but it especially hurts those people who I've worked with and who I've cared about and been passionate about for so many years.
Okay, we're going to move on to our next question here. Chairman, during your first term, you spearheaded an action that drew the national spotlight onto Multnomah County when you and some of your fellow commissioners decided to extend marriage licenses to some 3,000 same-sex couples. Now, you drew some criticism on procedural grounds for that, but you also drew the praise of many people throughout the region. This really, in my opinion, is the next front in the great ongoing struggle for civil rights in this country. So I'm going to ask each of you in turn, first of all, what is your position on same-sex marriage, and what actions would you take, given the way the first sally in that direction turned out?
Terry, you go first.
Well, Chair Lynn took a very courageous position when she made that decision. I would not have made the same decision, although I would go so far as to extend full rights to, like a contractual agreement between couples like that.
But not marriage.
Not marriage per se, because I feel that's that's something in the realm of religion. It's not. Religion was the party that started marriage, and it's still in the realm of religion. Civil authorities took it over later, and I believe same-sex couples, or any couples, should have the same rights and privileges. But as far as marriage, I feel that's a religious part, and all the other privileges like survivorship and rights in a hospital and everything else should be fully extended to couples.
Okay, Diane?
Well, as you know, I did make that decision. It was a procedural legal issue for me, and we made it based on Oregon constitutional law. For me, it's simply never going to be okay until every individual is treated exactly the same. Depending gender, sexual orientation, doesn't matter. Everybody deserves to be treated the same. And in the course of a lifetime of movements, in fact, multi-lifetimes sometimes, it takes a lunge forward at certain key points, at critical points, and the people that make those decisions have to be prepared to pay the price. And I can tell you without equivocation that I have paid an extraordinary political price. I'm proud of it. The support I'm getting in this campaign, and I want to clarify, Terry Bean is who Mr. Wheeler was talking about when he was talking about a real estate developer. He's committed to human rights on a national level and has led the charge nationally for the fight for civil rights for gays and lesbians, transsexuals, and bis. So we're really reflecting on the progress we've made, even though the going's been tough. The Defense of Marriage Act passed. The Supreme Court made a decision we were terribly disappointed about. The fact remains in the final analysis that 10% gain was made in 1 year's time in the acceptance support for same-sex couples to marry, not civil unions, not second-class citizen status. That's the kind of progress you're proud of when you're involved in movements towards human rights.
Ted,
the other guy.
Too many T's.
That's all right. Yes, I strongly support the right of same-sex couples to get married. I support full civil rights for LGBT people, and I absolutely want to continue to fight not only here but around the country where gay and lesbian couples are losing their right to adopt children. I think that is just ethically and morally wrong, that people don't have that right everywhere. They should, as a matter of course. I'm also very proud of the fact that as a private sector leader at our company, we offered domestic partnership benefits at a time when it was very, very difficult to negotiate for those benefits. As a small business with only about 100 employees, we were not able, as a matter of course, to get those benefits, so we had to go out there and really fight hard for them. And I'm proud of the fact that our company had an ironclad anti-discrimination policy, and it's the same kind of leadership I would offer at Multnomah County, where the managers of color indicated that they had 102 incidences of alleged harassment and abuse. And that report went to Chair Lynn's office, and it was promptly buried. The commissioners didn't even know it existed for months after the fact. If I find in my place of employment that we have that kind of alleged discrimination, heads are going to roll.
Well, it just isn't true.
Well, I'm sorry. What isn't true?
Oh, there was a report done. We asked our employees, like most employers should do, how do you feel in your work environment every day? How do you feel that you're treated? And at Multnomah County, we have 20% people of color. 60% of the workforce at Multnomah County are women. The jurisdiction is run by women primarily in terms of departmental leadership and on the board. We asked people how they felt about how they were treated. There were incidents that were vetted. We took the report very seriously, responded, set up systems of training and all kinds of responsiveness. My chief operating officer, Iris Bell, is the one orchestrating this. She's a wonderful African-American woman who's leading the charge on our diversity front. It's so easy for an opponent from the outside to make observations and mischaracterize what we're doing within government and within a jurisdiction like Multnomah County, and I just have to clear up the record on that one.
Can I push back on that?
Yeah, real quick, though.
Sure. Are you saying, Chairlain, that the other commissioners were made aware of that report?
Yes, they were absolutely.
So when they say that they were not aware of it, they are not telling the truth. Is that correct?
They knew about the report. They were fully briefed on that report. It was Dr. DeBartolin. They know all about it. There's no question about that.
Well, this raises a question. I'm going to step out of my formal role here. This raises an interesting question. You have, Diane, you have attracted the opposition of some of your colleagues on the commission. And you have, Ted, gained their support. And Terry, they're ignoring you.
Right.
But... I have to say this, Diane. Is it the problem you don't play well with others? I mean, what the hell's going on here?
Look, in the last 2 years and beyond that, first of all, 3 years ago, we raised taxes for schools. In 10 months, we redefined the institution of marriage. After that, we've been going through the impacts of wave after wave of budget reductions and budget decisions that have put people in really tough positions. I don't think people have any idea what it's been like within the halls of Multnomah County in the last 3 years. There wasn't a big public summit like there was for schools to figure out how to make up the money that the ITAX would be lost at Multnomah County. We have been under pretty extreme stress. I'm very proud of my role in leading the county through it. Now, that has represented some stress between members of the board. They're all independently elected. We've worked really closely together in the past, each one of us, on a variety of different projects. But in the last year or so, we've really had some differences of opinion. That's healthy on a public body. The media likes to characterize it as some kind of catfight among women. I think that's wrong. And, in fact, my opponent keeps referring to it as bickering. You don't hear that word applied to the Portland City Council. Those are a group of men who will challenge each other viciously sometimes. And it's okay for men to disagree.
So you're saying it's sexual stereotyping?
I think there's a little bit, at least some, sexual stereotyping in this case. Now, we've disagreed, and the three members of my board have taken positions against some of mine, and I think they've been counterproductive to what we've been trying to do with the county. We've disagreed, and they're supporting my opponent. So the truth is... Everything aside, when this election's over, when the politics that are swirling around this particular race are done and over with, this board will be working very well going forward, and there'll be changes on the board, and we'll get the job done. There's no question in my mind about that.
I'm going to give Terry an opportunity, and then Ted to respond.
I don't have a whole lot to add to the discrimination part. I do know that working in stores, there is discrimination, whether it's overt or not. And most of the time anymore, it's not overt in the least. But one thing that I have noted in grassroots, if you will, is that when people are working, they are very hesitant to complain to their bosses or supervisors what is going on, or even anonymously writing down what is going on. And so it very well could be that there is things going on, or are things going on that are not being reported. Being in the county offices in the last few months, I can say that the people there seem pretty content with their positions, and they're very easy to get along with.
Okay, Ted.
Well, I would like to follow on directly to Chair Lynn's comment about there being an element of sexual politics on the Board of Commissioners. I was at a function no more than a week and a half ago with Chair Lynn in Corbett, and Terrence was there as well. Chair Lynn, what did you refer to your fellow commissioners as?
Well, one of my...
Tell you what you...
Well, I did. I did refer to them
as the Mean Girls Club.
Because one of my...
Wait, let Ted finish.
Okay, but I have to. The Mean Girls Club. All right, go ahead.
So I don't think I need to make that point any more delicately. It speaks for itself. Chair Lynn does not understand what the nature of the dysfunctionality on her own board is, and she certainly doesn't understand how to fix it. Every week or every other week, she sends out a taxpayer-funded newsletter called the Lynn Line. And in the Lynn Line, she takes regular swipes at her fellow commissioners. And I just point out that that's a very different style of leadership than what's used in Clackamas County, where the entire Board of Commissioners sends out a joint newsletter touting what the government is doing.
Now, you're not suggesting that Clackamas County is a model of...
No, in fact, they're at each other's throats every day.
From the perspective of the public, obviously the folks on the radio can't see this, but what I'm holding up is called the Clackamas County Citizen News, and it's signed by the entire Board of Commissioners, and it's not about individual personalities or who's right or who's wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's about what government is doing, why it's important, and why the public should care, why they should reinvest their faith in Clackamas County government. Multnomah County should be doing exactly the same thing.
Well, in a
I think this next question will give you a chance to address this very question. Go ahead.
What is the next question?
This one.
I'm off track.
This is one I would really like you to be very specific about, or we're going to ring the bell. What is it that you hope to accomplish if you are elected a chair, in your case, elected a chair again, Diane? I'm going to begin with Terry.
What I would like to accomplish is to set aside egos in county government, have everyone realize they're working for the government, for the people, which the people are the government of Multnomah County. The people are the only ones that are important in this county. There is no county without the people. And I'd like to see some better communication, if you will, the communication word.
Careful, that bell can come
right
out.
As per items like the Wapato Jail, which the county should have been communicating to the people that there were no funds to open or operate that jail after it was built when the bond was put on the ballot, and items like that. Or the Stark Street Bridge where the work was being done, the locals knew what was going on, but the signs indicated that the entire Stark Street was closed down to the bridge at Troutdale Road, which cut off a lot of people from even going down there for anything.
Okay, Ted, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Ted, you want to jump in?
I'm hoping that people will look back in 4 years and say that we have a county commission that, though it doesn't always agree, it works together professionally, and it's an example of good governance. I hope that people who are citizens in this community feel that their trust has been rebuilt in county government. We're going to do that specifically by putting in performance measurements, benchmarks, and contract oversight that's been dismantled in recent years. Citizens will feel that they have meaningful opportunities for engagement, not as people who are, quote, on the sidelines, unquote, but people who feel that they actually have a say in the direction in the future of our county government.
Okay, now here's what
I would have rung the bell on that one, but that's. Can I go ahead and jump in, Joe?
Let's do this.
Okay.
I'm going to ask one more question. Then we're going to open it, and each of you gets to answer.
Diane get to answer this question?
Oh, yeah, I get it. Diane, go ahead.
Thank you very
much. I've lost track.
That's
okay. Abe will keep me honest.
Thank you. What's important is not necessarily how we get along every day. Well, I'd love for that to happen, and it will. It will happen.
Yeah.
What's important is making sure kids get through school successfully, and that means providing some support to the public school system. That means expanding the Sun School program, Schools Uniting Neighborhoods for after school and school supports. That means that the 14,000 kids registered in after-school programs can grow and maybe even double in the coming years, so they have the support and the encouragement to get all the way through school successfully. What I'm looking forward to in the next 4 years is to expand on the wonderful work being done by extraordinary employees at Multnomah County in the areas of services to the most vulnerable and in partnership with Central City Concern and the homeless youth providers downtown and Cascadia Behavioral Health. The organization that Ted's involved in is one of 8 lead agencies in the county. It's one of 8 that just do the school piece and some other anti-poverty supports. We're working with hundreds of organizations, Volunteers of America, the relief nurseries, early childhood development. This is the kind of specificity that the voters should look for in a county chair, one that understands the systems of care. Now, on public safety, we're going to open Wapato. We have to open that. Without that, people will not trust government. That's going to be a way we win the trust back, is to get that facility open in partnership with Clark County and get offenders in there so that we can work on drug treatment and mental health assistance and interventions in ways that get people back on track and stabilize in housing, like applying the Martha Washington facility downtown, so up to 120 people who are chronically homelessness can be stabilized. These are the kinds of issues that we should be talking about, not generalizations about communication. While that's critically important, and I live it every day, and everything we do at the county must be completely transparent to the public. When you live in that environment, you know that everything you say and do will be criticized, and that's okay, and you've got to know how to take the heat. The issues of what we manage in Multnomah County is what's important. Schools, services, public safety, and, again, basic rights for all people.
Okay, now I'm going to ask my last question, except we may jump in with others, because I want...
It's the last one, except
it's just the last one I plan, because I really want to give people out there a chance to call you, and we only have a few minutes left. But one question, and I really want a very short answer, okay?
Promise.
Why, and I'm going to begin in the order we have, which is Terry and then Diane and then Ted. Why should I vote for you?
You should vote for me to connect with the people because without the people, there is no government. And without connecting with the government, we're going to lose the people.
Okay.
The voters of this community should vote for me because I have the experience to do the job. I'm passionate about what we do at the county. I understand the systems of care, and I have delivered for the school kids, for people that are most vulnerable. And you should look at the record and the results and the fact that I've rolled up my sleeves and worked so hard to balance this budget to make Multnomah County be a highly functioning organization, despite how the media the mainstream media might portray that to the community.
Ted.
I actually agree with the mainstream media's interpretation of how things are going at county government. I believe I am the only person in this race who can bring back together a fractured county organization and rebuild the public's trust. And I would encourage people to visit all of our websites and look at our very specific proposals for what we want to do. Mine is wheelerforcountychair.com.
Okay, I just have one more quick question for Ted. This is just to satisfy my own personal curiosity.
Yes.
Can you describe Copper Mountain Services and what sort of financial services you provide?
Copper Mountain Trust was a financial services company, corporate retirement plans, institutional corporate custody services, which is kind of like a bank. We held money for institutions, did the reporting. We were basically the fiduciaries, the people who are legally and financially responsible for other people's money. We also had funds, investment funds.
Right, so you manage.
Yes, so these were corporate retirement plans for both corporations and unions.
Okay, now this is the point where we're going to ask for some of our callers. We have several callers online, so you need to make sure your headphones are on. The number to call, folks, is 231-8187. Here is now Paul. Paul, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, what'd you do, lose your cowbell, Joe? I heard all kinds of glittering generalities.
Oh, yeah, I decided it was just
too
rude.
Well, bring it back.
Okay.
I have a question. I'm going to nuance it a little bit because it's just a little bit different. But it's basically the same one. Mr. Wheeler, I doubt that your company, you cited your experience with your company, I doubt that it's faced a multimillion-dollar advertising media campaign over decades attacking the integrity of your company. And what I'm looking for is leadership. And Commissioner Lynn, I know that you care a lot about the constituency, the disadvantage that the county served. And so it's a little bit different for you because I want to know what you're going to do different. But what my question is for the candidates is I'm looking for a candidate that can show some leadership, that can accentuate the positive and explain to people why they need to pay more taxes or where the more taxes are going to come from. Not
right.
This whole thing about telling your kids they can't have money to spend. Well, you know what? The people out there that need county services, they don't have a choice in this matter. Most of them would not be seeking these services if they had any choice. So I want to hear what people are going to, how as chair you're going to show leadership so that we raise the money to fund the
Okay, let me make sure I understand your question. You're asking how these candidates, if elected, would go to the people asking for more money. Is that it?
No, how they're going to, well, more than that, I want to see how they're going to show the leadership to not ask the money, but get the money.
All right.
And, Abe, don't forget about Scott's question.
Okay.
I don't know about Scott's question because I was out talking with our people. All right, you guys each get to respond. It's going to be, again, I want to remind you, it's Terry, it's Diane, and then it's Ted.
All right, as far as taxes, the iTax is basically dead. I supported it. I would support it again, would have supported it again, let's put it that way, but it really didn't do what it was intended to do. As far as raising more taxes, as far as the Selwood Bridge, if we need more money for that, any monies we need, I would put a bond on the ballot with the idea that a toll would pay the bond back and retire the bond eventually. Now, that can only work with the Selwood Bridge because there's a 12-mile span where that's the only bridge available.
So you'd force people to pay a toll.
Right.
Okay.
But just like with the Astoria Bridge and with the Interstate 5 Bridge, as soon as the bond was satisfied, it would be relieved. And I think we need innovative programs like that that will retire taxes when they're needed.
Okay, Diane?
Well, this is a great question because I think the public does deserve leadership. The question is, can they recognize it when it happens? I led the charge to avert the strike that could have happened between the Teachers Association and the district 3 years ago. After that, helped develop the 2648 package that became the ITAX, which I have to correct Mr. Smith on, did exactly what it was supposed to do. Stabilized the full school year, brought teachers back into the classrooms with reasonable class sizes, extracurricular activities that we know keep kids in school. We actually reported on it. We were held totally, we followed our accountability measures, and it just recently showed that the achievement in the 3 years in all the Multnomah County schools actually improved relative to the schools that didn't get that extra funding around the state. Leadership is making tough decisions in tough times and taking the heat when it comes down on you, and nobody's experienced that more than I have in raising taxes and again, allowing same-sex couples to be married.
Okay, Ted.
Well, again, I would just point out that even if you don't believe what the mainstream media is saying, keep in mind that the people who know my opponent the best, from a majority of her board of commissioners to the people who work for her, have endorsed my campaign. They have faith and confidence in my leadership.
Well, wait. The question was about taxation.
Well, it gets to accountability.
Okay.
The chair's office only has a budget of $1 million a year. That's not that big of a budget for one office. Yet there have been three allegations of serious financial impropriety in that office in the last 6 weeks. Well, it led to the resignation of the county's chief financial officer, and he resigned saying that he had been asked by the chair's office to, quote, misrepresent information to the public and or Board of Commissioners. So take it as you will. What people need in order to have faith in the tax base to be able to support county government, they need to see some vision. For example, in an era of declining budget resources, why do we still have a fleet of Ford Tauruses at Multnomah County? Why have we not converted, like the PDC has, to flex car? It would support local jobs. It would save money. It would send the right message about the environment. We have a lead here in this county on open source software development. We have Linus Torvalds. We have the Open Source Development Lab. Yet we're still sending about $7 million a year up to Microsoft. We should be switching our platforms to open source. It saves money. It creates jobs. That's our brand. I have a style of leadership that's proven. I've brought together partnerships that have helped solve problems in this community, whether it was helping to create Oregon's first statewide nonprofit association that helps nonprofits operate more effectively, or whether it was preserving and protecting the Heron Point Wetlands Rehabilitation Project down on the Willamette River. I've gotten it done, and that's what we need to rebuild the public's trust.
Okay, but now, all right. I got to give Diane a chance to respond to this question about the financial improprieties. I think that's only fair. Go ahead.
Make
it quick.
Yes, we had a disagreement. It was a simple behind the scenes disagreement that was blown up publicly and again taken way out of context. Again, you cannot compare. Absolutely cannot compare what it's like to make decisions in the light of public, in under public scrutiny every day compared to being, you know, in another environment where you just don't have the accountability at all.
I'm sorry. Ted just quoted someone as saying that you they had been asked by you to misrepresent a financial matter. Is that the case?
Well, and let me be clear and specific. We were talking about the support to public schools. I thought of it as a amount of money out of our surplus one-time-only resource. The chief financial officer had calculated as a deficit towards the amount of money we were going to have to cut the following year. We had a disagreement on how the money was being characterized. And he disagreed with where I thought the resources were coming from. And we had a disagreement.
So you're characterizing this simply as a disagreement about accounting practices.
Absolutely. We never asked him to do anything that would violate any law in any way. But this is the kind of thing that gets called out and blown completely up when we're trying to serve the most vulnerable people every day and make sure kids get the support
okay.
they need.
Let's go to another caller. Who do we got? Phyllis?
Oh, hi.
Hi, morning, Phyllis.
I'm calling about a totally different subject, and this is for Mr. Wheeler. Multnomah County Animal Control is a very important part of the commission. And what I would like to know is, does he know anything about animal control, and is he interested in it?
Thank you, Phyllis, for the question. The answer is yes and yes. It is something I'm interested in. As you know, Multnomah County has animal control services. There has been a lot of interest during this campaign about the future of animal control, and I'd encourage you again to visit my website and look at my whole policy around animal control. One of the things that concerns me is the lack of public access to our animal control facilities. As a model that works, I would encourage people to look at the Oregon Humane Society, which tries to adopt out animals rather than having a kill-first policy, which I think is the wrong way to go. We know that animals that have more human contact are likely to be healthier. They're far more likely to be adopted. So I'd like us to try and look at the best aspects of the Oregon Humane Society's model as the way to go.
Okay, I'm going to give each of you a real quick, if you have a response. You needn't. It's not a requisite.
Well, I think from...
this is Terry.
From knowing the other two candidates, I'd say we're all involved in caring about pets and dogs and cats, et cetera. The Multnomah County Humane Society, or not Humane Society, but the Control Society, has been out in my neighborhood since I can remember, and they've done a fairly admirable job. But I concur with Ted on that. I don't like the kill policy, so to speak, the euthanasia. I would rather see them adopted out, and they do try to adopt out pets, of course, with their limited budget, and they, you know, the county has just so many dollars to work with, and that's it. We probably need more volunteers out there to help them with their problems.
Okay, Diane, real quick.
Well, this is a classic example of what these guys really don't know about the very tough internal discussions and public discourse we've had about animal services. Animal services at the county is a lot like foster care. These are dogs, primarily dogs, that can be a terrible threat to the community, and dogs that have been abandoned and abused. It's very, very, you know, kind of tough arena around animals. The example of the Humane Society is, again, they are an independent nonprofit organization that can take the best of the best of adoptable animals and provide a great opportunity for the public to come in and view. And my family got a cat from there not long ago. It's a great nonprofit, but it's nothing like what we have to face in public, in the public arena, where we have to take the animals that might be a real threat to the community.
So the Rottweiler, Pitbull crosses are who you get?
If they're dangerous, we got them. We actually have little Shih Tzu puppies that can be like, you know, land sharks. I mean, we've got dogs that really can't be released back into the community. So again, you can't have a learning curve when tough decisions have to be made and public resources have to be applied. And we need the public's help in making those right choices about animal services.
Okay, I think we want to introduce one other question, which...
Sure. Yeah, I had a question asked me in the very beginning of the show while Joe was prepping you guys. That was from Scott. He wants to know where you stand on public power. Now, Ted, I know you've gone on the record in favor of a publicly owned utility. And Diane, you have received a campaign contribution from the now publicly traded, but not publicly owned, Portland General Electric.
And so, still largely in the hands of Enron.
Right.
Yes.
And so, starting with Terry quickly, what's your position on publicly owned utilities?
I've always been for public utilities. It's going to be a very costly endeavor to buy a unit like PGE, very costly. But in the long run, it's going to pay off because the public will own it and the public will have more stabilized rates in the end.
Okay, real quickly then, let's go to Diane and then Ted. Real quick.
I philosophically am wholeheartedly supportive of PUDs. Publicly owned utilities ultimately is the best way to go. No equivocation for me about that. Just because you get support from a particular entity that exists today does not mean that you're beholden. If that line of thinking comes true, I want to go back to Ted Wheeler's CNE reports and hold him accountable to who he can be beholden to, which is downtown big money interests.
Okay. Real quick, Ted.
I have no philosophical opposition. Public utilities work very well in the state of Oregon and throughout the area. And I'd like to make sure that that is always an option.
Okay. You know, I feel like we've just begun. And I want to thank you guys. I want to thank Terrence Smith. It was good that you were here. And I hope there will be people who will be interested in your candidacy. I know you're got an uphill slog.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you, Ted Wheeler.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your being here. Diane Lynn, I'm very much glad to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And I want to urge everybody out there, I hope we've given you just a little exposure to these people. You make an informed decision. You vote for the candidate that is most likely to achieve the goals you want. Thank you all. You've been listening to KBOO. And my partner, Abe, and I want to wish you a good day and make good decisions.